Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, Marriage is Hard Work, But an Affair is Not the Answer. I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And I'm going to be reading from New International Version. It reads, quote, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. And I also I'm going to read from the King James Version, which reads as follows. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. The scriptures are very, very open and honest about the revealed will of God. In the scriptures, we are given divine viewpoint where we are given truth. And so, a few shows ago, I spoke about how God gave marriage to mankind, not only to Israel and the church, but God gave marriage to Adam. And so that relationship between the male and the female, who in the book of Genesis were called Adam, were given the relationship of marriage. There was to be that unique exclusivity, unique to the point wherein the scriptures state that a man must leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and shall become one. It is interesting that the scripture tells us in this manner about what this new relationship is to mean. In Exodus chapter 20, in the Ten Commandments, we read this verse in verse 12, Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. So, in verse 12, we have an imperative verb, honor, kabed, which means to take seriously one's father and mother. The Hebrew word for father is Ab. And in the Hebrew pictograms for father is that of an ox head or bull. And the pictograph
of a tent floor. So for the father, that is what is pictured through the pictograms, that of the ox head and the tent floor, his role means for the ox head, strong, power, and leader. The tent floor represents the father's role as one who is the head of the family, house, and inn. Also, in Exodus 20:12, I notice we have a compound subject, father and mother. The mother's role, in Hebrew, she too is represented by the Hebrew pictograms through the ox as strong, power, and leader. And then there's a pictogram for her, which refers to water, which means chaos, mighty, and blood. And so for the father, the pictograms tell us this story. The father is the one who gives strength to the family. The mother, in Hebrew thinking and culture, is the one that binds the family together. Once again, the father is the one who gives strength to the family, and the mother is the one that binds the family together. In Hebrew thinking, there is unity of purpose, unity of being. And so, a man must leave his father and his mother. And notice the pivotal roles that both play within the life of a young man. He must leave his father and his mother and be joined to his Isha, his wife. And they too will in turn perpetuate the role of mother and father. They would become one flesh, and through sexual intimacy perpetuate the race. But in the biblical material, the primary reason for the sexual union, not so much procreation, as that is a result of their relationship, but the intimate state of the one man and one woman. That unique intimacy in which the Bible tells us that the Adam knew his wife, to know her intimately as his own, to know her in her being, in her essence, as she receives him into her body, they two, or the two, are joined together in sexual intimacy. Now, someone noted long ago that human beings were the only ones who coupled or who had sexual intimacy face to face in all of nature, as it were. So there is that set apartness of what God created and what was the original that God intended, that God wanted for the male and female, that is for the Adam given in the Genesis record. And so that intimacy is to be shared exclusively by only two persons who become one. So both the male and female are seen as powerful in Hebrew thinking. both are represented by the ox or the bull. Both are strong, power, and leader. But the father's role, as indicated by the 10th floor plan, means family, house, and end. So the father is the one who gives strength to the family. And the mother, who is also strong, power, and leader, is represented also by the pictogram, once again, of water, which means chaos, mighty, and blood. And so the mother is the one that binds the family together. These individuals, the mother and the father, the male and the female, are pivotal to the healthy psychosocial development of the child. It is important that we understand the teaching of the Word of God. And that God says about who these individuals are. In the Ten Commandments, four have to do with man's relationship with God. Six have to do with man's relationship to man. And beneath the last commandment that has to do with man's relationship to God, and the one that begins the relationship of man to man, is this one: honor your father and your mother. Take seriously. So, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, we have this very powerful verse that addresses an important aspect of our spiritual lives, and that is marriage. And in the Greek text, we have timios, ho, demos. Whereas in the English, we have the noun at the beginning of the sentence, which reads, marriage is honorable in all. Now, in Hebrew, the word that has been translated honorable, in the Greek, the word that has been transliterated as honorable is placed at the beginning of the sentence for emphasis. So, timios ho gamos, the masculine article ho is placed before the noun gamos, which is the Greek word for marriage. Marriage, in other words. Precious is the marriage, is the way the Holy Spirit moved the writer to pen this sentence. Because God the Holy Spirit is the true author of the biblical document. And so this is the emphasis that the Holy Spirit brought to bear upon this very important topic. Timios ho gamos, precious the marriage. We, as the called out ones, must see marriage from divine viewpoint thinking. That is, from the viewpoint of the thinking of God. When we think about our own marriage, And what is excluded from this statement is any hint of marriage as an act of selfishness. The marriage, as it's pictured here, marriage is to be looked upon as precious. This view of marriage opens up for us and allows us to breathe the fresh air of divine viewpoint thinking and releases us from the dank space of the culture and its very flawed understanding of marriage. And then there are those who are in rebellion against marriage as a divinely established institution. It is not merely a social institution. And so one hears statements like, well, it is only a piece of paper. It is only a piece of paper. And when I am in the presence of these individuals, I look into the eyes and I note the history of the individual. I know carefully what I see. I know carefully what I hear and the nuances of what is being said and what is not being said. God states that marriage is precious. And if I am to think, and I need to think God's thoughts after him, then I must understand that in God's sight, marriage is precious. This frees me. That is, divine viewpoint frees me up and allows me to understand that for God, if he has indeed called me into a relationship with another individual, if God has called me to be married, if this is God's will for my life, then this is the milieu, this is where God will mature me. This is where, or the sphere in which God will grow me up out of my selfishness. Because I cannot approach marriage with the idea that this is exclusively to me the needs of myself. And indeed, when I have done premarital counseling, some very interesting questions come up. And I can tell when persons are not ready, but who insist on moving ahead into marriage. And later they come back chagrined over this individual who they really do not understand, but whom he or she chose to marry, believing that passion was going to be the answer to all until the reality of married life with routine, with schedules, with bills, with deadlines, etc., begins to take a toll on the marriage. It is important that young couples understand that there must be a time in which they renew the marriage by being alone, by being with one another, by having time to restore what marriage means to them. But sometimes, due to the complexity of our schedules or the demands of work, and even when a new life is born and a family, there are family responsibilities, it is difficult to schedule time to be alone. Let me say that it's imperative that couples, whether it doesn't matter what age or at what point in the marriage one finds oneself, it's important to date one's spouse. It's important to have dating time. It's important to go out. It is important to keep that aspect of your lives fresh. It is important to date each other and to have that time planned to set aside, because it gives one something to look forward to and to plan and to be excited and to take one out of the routine of the demand of life. Marriage is precious to God. And notice also the verse states that, and the bed, the koite, undefiled. K-O-I-T-E, koite. And the bed undefiled. So, the Bible expects that this married couple enjoy one another. Bible expects that this relationship is constantly renewed so that the couple will find themselves satisfied and relaxed in one another's presence. And so the sexual relationship is very important to a couple's well-being. And holding one another, this is also a very important biblical. And emotionally, it's amazing what the intention does. And so let me say, keep your marriage renewed by planning or having a time to date and to be alone. Go for a drive so that you can talk, go out to talk together, find somewhere where you can be alone and be undisturbed for at least a couple of hours a week. Have a dated time. Let me tell you, that is very spiritual. And it's very important. My wife and I put this into practice years and years ago. And, you know, our children grew up seeing this. Now our children, now that they're older, they're married, so they too are practicing what they saw mom and dad do. So please do that. Also, this we must understand that marriage is a picture of God's relationship to his church. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read these important words. I'm going to begin at verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, he saith, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Spleen, that is, let me give a good translation for verse 18, the word flee, run. Flee fornication. Or in the Greek, the word is pornean, and from which we get our word, pornography. But here it means get away from any temptation of sex outside of marriage. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body or outside the body. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Notice the words. He that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Therefore glorify God. See, when we hold marriage as precious, we glorify God. When the marriage bed is on file and the couple can enjoy sexual intimacy with great abandon, we glorify God. The marriage bed is undefiled in God, in Christ. The marriage bed is undefiled. Now, the studies I read about couples within the church that are committed to the biblical view of marriage, these couples have the greatest sexual satisfaction. Because of their commitment, because God blesses their union, God blesses, they are in fellowship with God, they have great prayer lives, they have wonderful lives of devotion, they spend time with their spouses, and so there is this intimacy, they understand the nature and importance of kindness and gentleness with one another, they do not try to push buttons or to harm the spirit with unkind words or questionable it all contributes to intimacy and a wonderful relationship with God and with one another. So they have very satisfying relationships. So the sexual act is a part of that great intimacy. There is a fluidity. There's a flow. Their lives are not compartmentalized. And also, we say to other couples, in order to control information about their relationships with their spouses, be careful about what you say to others about your relationship with your intimate partner. Believe me, people may smile, but sometimes the questions they ask are very sinister. Be careful about your marriage. Put walls around your marriage. God, your relationship. Very carefully. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I'll speak to you next time when we meet. God, have a wonderful day.